Good morning. I am Pastor Kathy Hart, the Associate Minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, and it is my pleasure to be bringing the message to you this morning. I want to start by reading the text from which I will be talking this morning, and it's Psalm 90. Let me give you a little bit of background about Psalm 90. This psalm was written by Moses, and Moses wrote it probably about the time when the Israelites were condemned to wander in the wilderness for 40 years after they were grumbling and complaining and rebelling against God. So hear these words from Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born or brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us and establish the work of our hands. Yes. Establish the work of our hands. We all received a gift last night. You may not know it, but you probably used it. And I'm looking and seeing you a little bit refreshed and renewed. And yeah, I bet you used it to sleep, didn't you? You got an extra hour of sleep last night, right? Yay. Don't get too excited. You got to give it back in the spring. It's one of those Indian, it's a gift that, you know, gives and you have to give it back. But enjoy it while you've got it. The gift of time. God gives us time. And so often, we fritter it away. I have to admit, I too am a time waster. Probably my favorite way to waste time is to plop down in front of the TV and just veg. Binge watching shows that, you know, it's kind of mind-numbing. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's a time for everything, right? There's a time to work, there's a time to be with family, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to weep, so there's got to be time to sit on the couch in front of the TV, right? It's got to be. It's about balance. There is a time to work. There's time for family. There is time for self-care. And if you take care of yourself like me in front of the TV, that's fine. But we have to make sure that it's balanced. And in all of that time, God is present. That time that He gives us is a gift for us to use, and He wants to be a part of all of it. As we look today at this psalm, the main theme of this psalm is about time. Yes, there were some darker points that talked about the wrath and the fear. I'm going to focus on the time, the gift of time that God gives to us in this psalm. In fact, one of our great hymns of our faith is called, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Isaac Watts wrote that based on this psalm. So as we talk about time, we're going to talk about two types of time. There's chronological time, or chronos time, and that is the time that's very quantitative. It's measured. We've got minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. That's how we live, is chronologically. Our clock went back an hour this morning because of chronological time. But there's another time. There's what's called kairos time. Kairos is a moment. It's an opportune, right moment. It's what we call God moments. And those are qualitative, not quantitative. And they can't really be measured. But you don't want to miss them. We have been a supporter of the Kairos Prison Ministry for a few years here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. And it's interesting that they would name it Kairos. Kairos, the Greek meaning, is special time with God. So I find it poetic that people who are sentenced to serve chronological time get to spend special time with God through this ministry. And it has changed lives. It is truly a gift of time. So as we look at the psalm today, I want to show you the gift of time that is found throughout. Let's start with Psalm 90, verse 1. We're going to look at the past, the present, and the future as it is in this psalm. We're going to look at it chronologically, but we're also going to see the chirological moments that God reveals. In verse 1, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. God has always been in the past. And in verse 2, it says, before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole earth from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. He has always been before time began. God was in the beginning, everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega. And as we look back on our past, I find it easier to see where God has been in our lives looking backwards. For the past 2 years, we have all been through a lot. As a church, as a nation, as a community, in our families, there's been a lot. A lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, a lot of heartache, a lot of struggles. And we can look back now, I hope, and start seeing, hey, that's where God was in that moment. God brought us through all of that to this moment now. He is with us in our past. Our past is full of memories. Some of them are joyful memories, some of them are painful. We celebrated this morning those who have passed this year. And for their families and friends, the pain is still with them. There are people who have suffered great tragedy and crisis, trauma, abuse, heartache in their lives. But the beauty of Kairos time is that God can heal the past. He cannot change the past. What happened, happened. But he can go into those memories. I have witnessed it in my ministry, where God goes into the past and he heals and makes people whole. There's a phrase that says, time heals all wounds. I think a better phrase, and I read this recently, it's not time that heals all wounds, it's what we do with the time that heals the wounds. Because we can sit in the brokenness, in the bitterness, in the heartache, in the sorrow for years and years and years. Or we can surrender that pain, that heartache to God and invite Him to bring healing to our past. In 2010, I lost my father. And it was a terrible loss for me. I was very close to my dad, and it was sudden. And part of my grief journey, I chose to walk Clearwater Beach early in the morning at least one day a week. And so I would walk up and down the beach, and there were days where I was screaming at God. There were days where we were having just a nice conversation. There were days where it was silent. But I remember this one day, and I was talking to God, and I was much like in the psalm, "How long, O Lord?" I need some kind of reassurance. I need to know, God, that you are here in this with me. I need to know that my dad is with you right now. I need your presence, God. And as I'm crying out on Clearwater Beach, all of a sudden, in that very moment, a dolphin pops up out of the water. And now this dolphin was not just popping up out of the water. This dolphin was giving me a SeaWorld-level show. It was jumping and leaping and dancing on its tail and having a wonderful time. Now, when I was a little girl, we had a boat. And one of the great joys of that for me was when the dolphins would follow along the boat and play with us. So I took that as a Kairos moment. I took that as God breaking into my grief, into my past, and saying, "I am here." And that past experience with God affects my present experience with God. Just 2 weeks ago, I was walking Dunedin Causeway. And as I'm walking the causeway, two, mind you, dolphins decided to walk alongside me. They're going down the causeway, and as we came back, they were coming back this way. Now he's just showing off. Those God moments are gifts. They are gifts of time. Let's take a look at some of the scripture that talks about the present from Psalm 90, starting in verse 4. It says, "A thousand years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a night." This is what a day is. A day has gone by, and then the night. That's an example of a day. And in verse 9, it says that all of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. That's the heaviness of this psalm. But focus on all our days pass away. Time flies quickly. I remember when my son was little, people used to tell me, "Don't blink or you're going to miss something." And it's so true. We blink and they're adults. They grow up so fast. We miss precious moments when we're not present with our family. We miss precious moments when we are not present with our Lord. Verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." God, show us that our days are short. Our time is important and valuable. Give us the wisdom to use the gift of time that you've given us wisely. Verse 14, I like this one. This one says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing joy and be glad all of our days." Who would like to be filled with God's love this morning? Is that why you came? Let's be filled with God's love this morning. What if every morning you woke up and said, "God, satisfy me with your love"? I wonder how that would change your day. All your day is filled with song and gladness. And then in verse 17, it says, "May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest on you and establish the work of your hands." In the present time, God wants to fill us with his love. And he wants to give us wisdom for how to use this time he's given us. And he wants to establish the work of our hands. He wants to show us what he needs us and wants us to do. Our present lives, however, are very chronological. They are very structured. From the moment we get up in the morning, the alarm goes off, we've got our routine, we've got to get going, until the moment we hit the pillow at night, our days are full. We have appointments, a calendar. We have these things that we are permanently attached to. My dad used to call it his brain. And when he'd lose it, he was just lost without it. But all of our information, all of our appointments, our calendar, our important dates, Facebook will even show you what happened 5 years ago and pops up in the memories, right? So everything we need to know about time in our life is right here, past, present, maybe not future. But do you know that with the invention of the iPhone, anxiety ramped up in our world? You look at the statistics from the American Association of Psychology, and you know, anxiety is doing a little tick up, little tick up, a little bit more, and then the invention of the iPhone, it goes way up. We are so stressed today because we feel like we have to fill every single moment with something. And we are not allowing any time for God to break through. We can look back on our past and see where he broke through, but wouldn't you like to see him right now, in the present? Have that reassurance that he is with you in this present time. But we are in such a hurry, always. And I was taught when first became a professional that you should always try to return a phone call within 24 hours or an email within 24 hours or at least the next business day. Remember that verse that said 1,000 days to God or 1,000 years to God is like a day? God's next business day is 1,000 years. Can we wait? Not when we're living chronologically. But if you live in that Kairos time, if you wait, God will be there. Each day we need to work on balancing our life with work, play, and family, and have an open heart ready to receive whatever God wants to surprise you with. J.R. Tolkien says that all we have to do is decide what to do with the time that is given to us. Let God teach you to number your days with wisdom. Let him establish the work and the rest of your hands. Now let's see what the psalm says about the future. In the future, going back to verse 2, before the mountains were born, you brought forth everlasting to everlasting from the past. Notice I put it in the past, and I'm also putting it in the future. Everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega. God was, is, and will always be. Verse 3 says, and this is about us, you turn people back to dust. Return to dust, you mortals. These bodies were not meant to be eternal bodies. They decay. They get old. They break down. But God is eternal. We will return to dust. Our time is short. And verse 10 says that our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are filled with trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Friends, your days do not have to be filled with sorrow and trouble. If you look for those Kairos moments when God breaks through and you listen in the present, your future is bright. And we can live to 70, 80, some 90 and 100, but eventually our bodies will fail. That hymn that I told you about from Isaac Watts, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." You see, no matter what we face, we are reassured from our experiences with God in the past and our experiences with God in the present, that we will have hope for the future. that he will be with us. He will break through whatever it is that we're facing, and he will be our help. Do we completely trust that? Lord, help our unbelief. I want to go back to verse 1 for a moment and reflect on that in a different way. I put it chronologically in the past because it said, "You have been our dwelling place through all generations." But it is also a kairos moment because God has been, God is, God will always be our dwelling place. He is our eternal home. You know, when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, they didn't have a home. They were just wandering, but God was with them. He was their home. That's what he wanted them to learn and to understand, that I am your home. Depend on nothing else, just me. We know that we have a future, that we will turn to dust, but we have Jesus as our Lord. We do not need to fear death. The biblical term death means to be alienated or separated from God. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we have eternal life. We do not need to fear death. And friends, eternal life is not something, that eternal home is not something in the future. That eternal home is now. From the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, eternity began for you. You do not need to fear death. These bodies will decay, but you will not die. God is your eternal home. The last verse of the hymn, "O God, our help in ages past," sums up this psalm. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Past, present, future, right there. And God is with us through it all. We are home. And Jesus reiterates this in John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5, when he says, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." All our lives need to be lived in the presence of God. He is our eternal home, and we can abide with him. Today, God welcomes you home. Jesus has set the table. This is a kairos moment for us all. The past, the present, and the future come together in one place as we join together in communion. We join with all the saints who have gone before us. Christ died for our sins, past, present, and future. And he invites you to his table this morning. That is a gift of time.